Hello and welcome to episode 545, Contending at the Water Cooler. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me everywhere at Hey Dude Meg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser, and I'm tired. And you can find me, who I'm drinking wine. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy, and I am also tired. I missed a nap. Apparently, I heard that there was napping between the two of you.
I took a nap, and I'm like, now I'm not going to be able to sleep. I'm going to have to take my, get my cocoa, my Risey cocoa, and try to fall asleep.
Yeah, I fell asleep at like, it was a long nap. I didn't mean to sleep as much.
Yeah,
It was
I fell
like,
asleep at like 5:30.
I fell asleep at, I think, 4:30, and I woke up, and it was like 7. I was like, oh, it's 7 in the morning. Wait, it's still Monday. I haven't eaten anything today. I haven't showered today. I felt bad because Jason always follows me up with my glass of wine, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go upstairs to record, and I went to the bathroom, and he was like standing there with my glass of wine. I was like, oh, I'm not. Okay, just come on. It's juice.
So, last night was the, well, how many years is this, Joey?
98th.
No, not the Academy Awards, but the, yes, last night was this little thing called the 98th Annual Academy Awards, but most importantly, it was Joey's annual Oscar party, and I'm trying to remember how many years it's been.
I think the first official party that I started was 2008.
You I've did have a couple at my parents' house.
Then 2007.
Seven.
Yeah. So this is technically the
19th year.
19th year.
Oh my God. Next year is the big 20.
I think on the invitation, I said this year was the 18th year. So I'll figure out what I want to do. But okay. I think the first year that I started making food and doing everything was either 2008. I had people over because I know there's pictures of me and Megan standing in front of a Frost Nixon poster. And then I think 2009 was the first year that I psychotically tried to make food for stuff. I think I did make food for everything. I made like three things and then I just like ordered pizza. But yes. Well, so long answer to your question, 18 years.
Excellent. So, on the 18th anniversary of your party, how did it go? Now, Joey, I know you ran around probably for 8 to 12 hours, threatening people, committing minor crimes, petty larceny, things like that. How'd it go?
Can I say something first? Yes, I'm going to jump in. I got a message from his husband at 10:30 on Sunday morning saying, Megan, well, it's 10, it's not even 11 o'clock and I've already been yelled at.
Let me tell you why. Because he fell asleep and crashed on the couch and did not come upstairs. And I was getting stuff ready. I was in the middle of making food and I didn't expect my guests, Lingesh and James were in town from Canada and they were staying in the guest room. I didn't expect them to beat up. But it was like 10 o'clock and I shook him awake and I was like, hey, what time are you getting up? And he's like, what time do you want me to be up? And I was just like, 3 hours ago. And then he fell back asleep. And then I like shook him up. I was like, come on, like, get, I don't want to like tiptoe around you because you're sleeping and I need to be doing stuff. He was like right next to the kitchen. So I call bullshit on that, the intention of that message. And as soon as this podcast is over, I'm going to go down and yell at him.
Pre-yelling and post-yelling. It's an annual Oscar night event.
Oscar season.
So how was the party?
It was fantastic. Lots of fun. Lots of amazing food. We had the two levels of viewing. This time, though, they were more in sync, so I couldn't fuck with the, like, predictions and, like, say, like, oh, my God! Like, Timothee Chalamet did win, you know, and scare him. So that was unfortunate, but it was a lot of fun. And yeah, the food was amazing. The drinks, they had like a smokestack Manhattan. I had like, there were little mini ones. I had like three of them, I think. They were so good.
Yeah, Jason came up with an idea to smoke a Manhattan by putting a little, I'll put pictures up online. Putting a little bit of grenadine in the bottom of a glass, and then he would prepare the drink in a martini shaker. Then he would smoke the drink in a shaker, and so then when he poured the drink, it poured through the smoke. So it was like a smoky juke joint kind of beverage.
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. And it smelled amazing. It smelled like a
Yeah, it smelled
bonfire.
right. It kept like smelling like it was like, ooh, it's really, it smelled like, you know, wood fire. Jason was just like, I had to figure out how to get the little butane lighter fluid out of the picture. I don't think I can, but that was really good. And we had I think the thing that I have to come to terms with is the amount of prep that I did in terms of like down to chopping vegetables and putting them in like little containers and little bags in my refrigerator. That was all really well thought out, I think. But then there's still that like 40 minutes of like a softie movie on speed and crack,
Yeah.
where Lingesh told me, don't know if he told you this, Megan, but the last thing I needed to make, but people are already still at, were already at the house. The last thing I needed to make was the beer cheese for the logs. And I was walking around, I was like, where's the recipe? Where's the recipe? And it wouldn't take long. I just had to throw everything in a pot and mix it
Yeah.
together. I couldn't find it. He told me later that he saw the recipe on the counter, took it and put it in his pocket. He was like, you were already stressed. And I had an alternative. I was like, well, I have this like jar of like cheese dip. I just threw it in a
Yeah.
shallow bowl, shoved it in the microwave, heated it up, put it on the warming pad. And he was like, once I saw you pouring that cheese in that bowl, I knew it was fine. So friends, Canadian friends are helping me when I don't even know it. So yes.
There you go.
That's great.
Well, I am sorry that I wasn't able to make it, but I am looking forward to all of the pictures. I'll post to be posted online on your Instagram, I assume, on your Instagram. So, very excited. And I did see one picture of you, Megan, in your Aunt Gladys costume. I'm
Yes.
assuming that was an Aunt Gladys costume, and you weren't
It
just like.
was. I actually showed up at the door and I said, I absolutely love this house. And I also asked him for a bowl of water and he wouldn't give it to me.
I'm not going to get killed at my own party.
I know it is ironic that I was like, you know, going to the home of two
Yep.
gay men, they're married, very
Yep.
Gladys. Yeah.
Yeah, we're like
Go for
shoving hot dogs in our faces. He's like, what do you
it.
want?
Yeah. But Joey just can't run that fast, though, so he'd be
No.
fine.
He'd
I
be
would
like,
give
no, I'm
up.
not
What do
doing this.
you?
Yeah, you would
No.
give up very fast.
It's like, I'm not running. Go away.
All right, so this is our Oscar Quickie podcast. So we're just going to cover what we thought of the ceremony last night. Of course, the 98th Annual Academy Awards. We're going to talk about Conan O'Brien, talk about the winners, talk about the segments, what we liked, what resonated with us, what we haven't liked in the 24 hours post the Oscars. And then we're going to do a little bit of a time capsule. I don't know if we want to call it time capsule, but we're going to look ahead to the 2027 Oscars. And then we'll close with a flash forward to the media you're most anticipating in the upcoming week. So, what did you guys think?
I thought it was a really good ceremony. I think Conan is doing a great job. I like this a lot better this year than last year. I think last year opened with like with Wicked and it was kind of somber. And this year opened with, you know, opening with everybody was waiting for Conan to do his own interpretation of Gladys. So that was the perfect way to kind of usher this in. Also, I saw people saying, you know, I feel like this is an indication of what's to come that, you know, Amy Madding was going to win because what an iconic character that, you know, who's throughout every thread of like the showing the movies. It was, you know, he was a Gladys. But I thought that for the most part it moved pretty fast. It was over by like 10:30. I mean, it started at 7, but I thought that in memoriam segment was pretty good and moving. And even though they left some people out, that people were pissed, of course, but everybody's always pissed. But I thought they spread the wealth. I know a lot of people also are complaining about, like, sinners didn't win enough, or one ballot upsetting another one too much. But I think they spread the wealth pretty well. Look at the category. Like, we've got, one winner in the acting, one winner from each of the big movies, I feel like, except Sans Weapons wasn't one of the ones. But, like, yeah, I thought that they spread the wealth pretty decently, and that was a good show.
You hit on a lot of things that I want to follow up on. I will say, I had a good time. So I know sometimes when you're in a group and you're having fun and you've had cocktails and everything can seem really great. I will say, sitting home alone in my house, well, not alone with my wife, but sitting in a very quiet house with just like, appetizers out. The show went, it was really good. It was good. I thought it was a little long. Just specifically talking about Conan, I think sometimes his bits they went on a little too long. They were a little too silly. But ultimately, the best of what he did reminded me of the best of Billy Crystal back in the day, particularly when he's inserting himself into films the way that Billy Crystal and even David, I know everybody hated David Letterman. David Letterman did that too. And I thought, you're just David Letterman's sense of humor is a little bit drier than Conan O'Brien's. Joey, have you rewatched it? I know you usually record it because you're the elegant host, and so you're not able to focus on the entire ceremony, but you rewatch it. Have you had the chance to do that yet?
I haven't watched the whole thing. That's what I fell asleep to on the couch. There's a one part actually I would say about getting on the couch. I was wearing this, and I got like comfy with a little blanket, and I got like some snacks, and I was just sitting there, and I was like, "Well, if anyone saw me here, I would look really sad just laying here in my house. Like, I don't care, it's fine."
You just got really tired after your bike ride across the moon.
Yeah, that's I didn't usually at the party I end up watching stuff once the ceremony starts, but still with the opening I'm still running around like an idiot. So I mainly specifically rewatched the opening because I realized that I was just like, okay, he's Enceladus, I can, oh, funny, and
As you're
I
stirring cheese.
yeah Sturgeon. But I thought that I said to somebody earlier that I kind of liked how the show itself had a sort of not giving a fuck about, I'm gonna say not to get political, but I mean like a not giving a fuck about what the reaction to certain things is going to be. I kind of liked how that felt like almost a through line in a lot of ways. I thought Conan, I agree, is very silly, probably one of the sillier hosts that we've had. But sometimes I don't mind that.
No.
Yeah, I think the in memoriam section was great in particular, although I did see, I think Frank said that he kind of wished other people would have had a chance to talk and it wasn't just Billy Crystal. I can understand that. But I think I saw someone say, it was like, oh, they finally cracked the code on how to make an in memoriam good. Which I think it was like, wow, it's taken us that long to figure that out. But I thought the show, for the most part, moved pretty well. I don't know if that is because I have the luxury of being distracted and doing other things, and I wasn't just like sitting there the whole time. Usually during the commercial breaks, I would get up, check on people, go upstairs, clean a little bit, find my place, like, and then for when the show back started back up again, I would sit. I was like switching back and forth, sitting upstairs, sitting downstairs. But I think for the most part, it was a well-produced show. I really loved the set too. I thought that's something. I liked the really wide screen that kept going up and down. I think the only, I guess, quibble that I have is I like that they brought the clips back, but I thought the clips were very short, and I thought that I was bummed that there wasn't those like fun cutaways to the reaction shots of people like, can you believe they picked that or them? I don't
Yeah.
No.
That's the only thing I miss.
I love the stage. I loved the height that they had on the pictures of the nominees. One thing that drove me absolutely insane was that one random tree that was always behind somebody. What the hell was the tree there for? Why was there a tree?
I didn't even think, I didn't even notice this. What a cool one.
It haunted me. I literally can show you scrolls of tweets to Jalal. It's like, why is there a tree? I don't understand the tree. Why is that tree there? Why is there only one? Why is it always in frame? Why do they always have to stand in front of the tree? I was just obsessing over it. But you know, I thought they did a really great job. I was appreciative of the clips. The clips I thought were, there was not, you know, when you're playing something, you have to allow for applause. And I think that's why they cut to the audience. It's because it gives the opportunity for people to applaud so that the noise in the auditorium doesn't drown out the sound. But in many of the clips, the applause, you couldn't hear what was being said in the scene, which I thought was a little disappointing. That's a nit. That's a nit. So
there's a an article from Vanity Fair from 2 days ago where they had a first look of the set, and they just, I haven't had a chance to read it, obviously, but it's, they say the theme of this Oscars stage is sanctuary of celebration, to feel, to give it a more organic feel, to create a calming space in a chaotic world.
Okay.
So, great. The trees were handmade by artisans and weave their way through the architectural structure.
See, there must have been more than one tree. I did have this issue with the camera work in the auditorium. I wanted more wide shots at some point. Like, I wanted to see a bit more of like the logistics and how everything was placed together. Cause there obviously was more than one tree. I don't remember seeing more than one tree, but I don't want to make this all about the tree. The other time that I kind of complained about the camera work was when I loved the in memoriam segment. I think it will go down in history, in my opinion, as one of the best ways to do this. Like, I understand it stopped and started and it didn't flow in a traditional way. I think Rachel McAdams deserves an honorary Oscar for being able to give that moving speech. And when she was saying that Girl Scout song, I mean, I was, you know, I'm very sad that Diane Keaton was there. I did not cry over the death of Diane Keaton. I was crying at that moment because it just was so touching to me. I don't know how she got through it, without crying. And, you know, Barbara Streisand being up there, we can talk about her in a minute when I get to when I do want to talk about the online reactions. But the only time that I complained about the camera work was when that very, very, very poignant, powerful moment when they lifted the scrim and there were all a lot of people who had worked with Rob Reiner. I wanted them to pan that camera down over everybody there so I could see exactly who was
right
there. I saw Carol Kane. I saw Annette Bening. I saw Kathy Bates because I remember what she, you know, she was wearing a dress where she stood out. But the guys, all in the black suits, it was really hard to tell who was who.
That's a good point.
And it was such an incredible, like a great secret, a powerful moment. And it just, I feel like they could have just taken somebody and just walked straight down the line, just get the shots, and then, you know, really, that wouldn't have taken that long.
Right. But I agree.
Maybe they didn't want to interfere with the emotion of the moment.
That could be true. I also saw some people saying that, like, why did it have to be Billy Crystal saying something the whole time? Why didn't they have other people? You know, like, I actually thought it was going to be Meg and Billy that were going to.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
Well, then there was, she comes out and then there's somebody that stands up in the audience who is right in front of the cameraman. So at least on, I don't know, I'm assuming this is everybody's vantage point, but I could barely see her because there was someone right in front of Meg Ryan. I'm like, this is the thing that everybody was waiting for,
right? Yeah,
and you can barely see her, and she looked great, by the way.
She did. I know. I liked her dress too. I saw that she was at the Vanity Fair party or something too. But those are good points. That's a good point.
You know, I thought ultimately I thought it was a of you know a very good ceremony, as good as you can do a show of this nature, like, you know, an admittance that it's long. I thought that the way they cut off some people was really awkward.
Yeah.
Joey, what's wrong?
All right, I saw something really funny on Twitter.
What?
So I just saw a
Breaking news, Joe.
so I just saw someone put up a, you guys might have already seen this. It was a picture of Hillary Clinton's book, What Happened, but it says Timothée Chalamet
Yeah. That's what you're laughing
Yes.
He's
about?
very tired.
Groundbreaking.
Oh, sorry, you're making a good point, and I'm being an idiot. Go ahead.
No, I didn't like the way they cut off some people, that's all. I mean, it was especially the winners of Golden, the original song. There was like one guy that was standing on the right-hand side that just kept jumping up and down because they just completely cut it out, turn off the lights. It was really
Yeah.
awkward sometimes. And Conan O'Brien even thought it was awkward. Like, he wouldn't speak until they, you know, kind of redirected the camera, the audience back to the podium because somebody else was trying to share
Yeah.
their moment. It was that was awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't figured out how to that. They haven't figured that part out yet, how to get, like, how to let people speak.
Yeah.
Well, when Amy Madigan won, I don't know if like the producers give like more time or weight to the actors because they're
Yeah.
whatever. But I mean like that shouldn't be the thing. But like I noticed, I was like, wow, she's talking for a long time. They're letting her go
Yeah.
on. And then I was like, oh, maybe they're gonna let them just go because they've started the show early for the last couple of years. But then like when the male director from like two people exchanging saliva and they like took the microphone away and they stood
Yeah.
there before they brought it back. I thought that was, I was like, okay, just pick one. I don't know. Again, this is we say it almost every year. It was like, just let it be what it is. Let it cook. Let it be as long. Let it be 5 hours. Who cares?
Well, they're going to let it cook when it goes to YouTube,
Yeah.
in between all the ads.
Well, they were
I
making
thought Bapit
way.
was so funny.
That was.
Yes,
The Jane
I thought that
Lynch
was funny
thing.
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was. And I enjoyed that they put the moments of comedy throughout the whole ceremony instead of just like all at the front,
Yes.
maybe a bit in the middle
Yeah.
and something at the end. Like, he even had the parody of the One Battle After Another scene that closed it. That was really fun.
Yes. With Jim Downey, which was so,
Yeah.
ugh. They're like, that's his like mentor. What did he say? His hero is Jim
Yeah.
Downey.
Yeah.
That was great. Do you think maybe they let Amy Madigan go along because they knew Sean Penn wasn't going to be
Oh,
there?
maybe. I
Like,
didn't think about
let her go. I did love
So,
Kieran Culkin's little dig, like,
yes.
or he didn't want to be here, like,
Yeah.
kind of just like, whatever. Like,
He chose to meet with Zelensky. That was the.
yes, which
I'm
is,
more
I
than
guess,
okay with that.
it's a good excuse. It's good.
It is a good excuse. I just don't think. I mean, I'm not going to quibble with the winners, because I thought, you know, there were no whale level winners. You know, there's no Brendan Fraser that just makes me not want to watch the Oscars completely. Still haven't watched that show. Still haven't watched it. That's the
Really?
only Oscar since 1990 that I have not seen.
What?
I will never see a second of that show
Oh my God, that's wild. I didn't
since
realize that.
19, maybe even 89. No, it was 1990. It was 1990. That was the first one that I really remember. I mean, I remember when like Olympia Dukakis won, and she talked about Michael Dukakis, and my parents were like, but in earnest, from beginning to end, I've watched every one of them since 1990, except for the one the year where Brendan Fraser won Best Actor. I
I
just,
didn't realize that.
yeah, that's psychotic, I know. But I don't remember what it was. Sean Penn does not need three Oscars. I'm sorry. Especially when he's like, I'm gonna give my Oscars away to have them melted down in the bullets, which is performative garbage. And then he was giving it to, yeah, he did. And then he's giving one to Zelensky, which Zelensky is, you know, has been through a lot, obviously, in the
Yeah.
past 5 years. So sure, give him one. But I'm like, hey, does he need three? Especially when Stellan Skarsgård, Delroy Lindo, you know, I mean, it just, and he's
He's
not
a good
there,
act.
and
He is a good actor.
he's a great actor.
I think him not being there is kind of a like, I think it did feel kind of like, you know, so all these people, especially knowing how much Delroy Lindo probably wanted that, how much Stellan Skarsgård, how much Timothy Chalamet would love, you know, that clearly. And then for somebody to be like, I'm not going to show up. And it's my third one.
Yeah.
I think it does feel kind of like a slap in the face a little bit.
Do you
Yeah,
think
Timothy Chalamet is like, I can go supporting. I can go.
Yeah.
The real star is the ping pong.
So there were articles today talking about little Timmy Chalamet,
Yes.
Timmy C, Timmy T, whatever his name was, in high school. And I don't know. I don't know why we need all these think pieces about why Timothy Chalamet lost this award. I don't think he was ever in contention of it. I think that was all just an online narrative.
Oh, I think he was definitely in contention. And I do think, I don't think there were think pieces about it, but I do think the Oscars doesn't like to give people, like, you kind of need to play it cool if you want it, like, I think.
Well, sorry. Yes, he's always been in contention. In contention. I just don't know that he was ever the real front runner once people started to see the movie. I just, you know, you can tell that they didn't like them. I mean, they liked the movie, they didn't love it. I don't think they would have given
Right.
it to him, even if he had just done nothing to campaign for it.
Really? See, I don't know. I don't know. I think that if he would have been like a little more humble, I could see it turning like if he would have just shut his mouth, really. If he would have done the Sean Penn way of doing things, he might have an Oscar. But I think there's just so many things that were rubbing people the wrong way. I also hate to say this, I do think Kylie Jenner rubs people the wrong way. And I think that just him being on the sphere, that was when I was like, okay, I'm over this. Like, I don't like that was just ridiculous. And he also made the Howard Dean sound, which I think is the sound of like you can't go
Losers.
woo. Yeah, I think that was what clinched it for him that he was not going to win. It's like you don't go full Dean, and he did. And
Love that reference.
I saw somebody on Twitter say that he sounded like Howard Dean, and I'm like, that is exactly what he sounded like. So, but you don't
Yeah,
go woo.
well, I love the reference to you don't go full.
Yes, okay.
Just being clear about the reference
Yes.
that I love. The Howard Dean thing is fine. I loved the original reference.
Okay. Oh,
You
yes.
know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean.
So what else did you guys think about the winners?
I thought Michael B. Jordan winning was so exciting. And Amy Madigan, I am still reeling about. Like, I just cannot stop thinking about what a little miracle that is. And like, also, she's just like the coolest person. She was so cool just listening to her talk. And I just keep thinking, I can't believe it actually happened because I actually thought Teyana Taylor was going to pull it out. But I'm just so happy with that. Yeah, and I thought it was just, yeah, those were probably two of the big ones I was really excited about.
Joey, what were some of your favorite wins in the night?
Yeah, the Michael B. Jordan, I think out of the two races, I was most like supporting actress and actor, I was most excited for Michael B. Jordan to win just because it felt like I'm glad that he won for a Ryan Coogler movie. I'm glad that he won alongside Ryan Coogler. It's sort of like those things where I feel like there are these actors who work with people consistently, but they don't win an Oscar for, like, I think Penelope Cruz should have an Oscar for a Pedro Almodóvar movie in a weird way. Even though I love her win, I think she's great in that movie. Like, I feel like Leo should have an Oscar for like a Scorsese film. Just makes sense. I don't know. I felt like the whole party went up when his win happened. People were really excited for that. I'm really glad for not to always talk about the shorts, but Sam Davis for The Singers. I was on a jury at Indie Shorts, and we awarded Sam Davis, like, his film qualified for the film that I was a jury on. And I felt a little bit not like I felt like I wasn't sort of like talking about that movie a lot. Like I was a really big fan of everything in that category, but I thought Exchanging Saliva had a really good shot at winning. I was sort of rooting also for Friend of Dorothy, but I'm glad that he won too, because I love The Singers. People want to watch it. It's on Netflix. It's a great little short film about connection. So I really love that. I was not surprised that Jessie Buckley won, but I was thrilled for her. I just retweeted, it's like a blurry reaction shot of like right after they called her name, and you can see Paul Mescal cheering in the background, and someone says, "Every roller coaster souvenir photo," because I was making weird faces.
Yes.
And I, not to go back to Amy Madigan, but I kept saying, I think at the party, it was like, it's crazy that that performance won an Oscar. Like, not that it's like not good. It's just that it's almost like atypical. Like, have people been saying all season, I was like, she's not going to win for that. That movie's not going to win anything. And it's just, I love that she got up on stage and just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. It was yeah. Awesome.
I actually, that'll play into my prediction when we do our time capsule. You'll see. Yes.
I loved all of those wins too. I mean, certainly Michael B. Jordan. I mean, my wife, the clips that they showed of Sinners convinced my wife that I knew not need to see that movie. Because she just, you know, the horror aspects of it. But she was full on rooting for Michael B. Jordan. Because she's like, he's such a nice guy, such a, you know, humble person, and I just wanted to see him win. My favorite win of the night was somebody that I have been championing since day one and changed my prediction at the last minute. And if I had kept her in cinematography, I would have had 22 out of 24. I have been talking about Sinners cinematography all freaking year.
I can't believe
and not changed. Just the I know. Well, everybody just went to one battle, and then one battle won the ASC, editing. And I'm like,
oh yeah, that's
yeah. So yeah. The guild, you know. So I was like, okay, it's going to be one battle, and that's it. But you know, I go back to, it's not just the imagery; it is also the mechanics of how she filmed Stack and Smoke, you know, and Michael B. Jordan's performance. It just Autumn Durald Archipal. I interviewed her back in the day for Loki. Great talent. I was excited that she won. And the first woman to win for cinematography.
Yeah.
And she talked amazing. About Rachel Morris. Was it Rachel Morris?
Mm-hmm.
For Mudbound? Rachel. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think that was a really good win too, because the cinematography is something you walk away, like, I mean, there's a lot of things you walk away from with Sinners, but like, it's just stunning to look at. I always think of like The Drive, The Field. Like that's like was just something that has stuck with me. So that was really exciting. That's a good win.
And isn't it wild that Ludwig Göransson has 3 Oscars now? And he's so young. Really,
and how old is he?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
I did ask the party if I thought he got a blowout.
He's 41.
Oh, he doesn't look 41. Okay.
You considered that young? Ugh.
I mean, it's young for 3 Oscars.
Okay.
Like, how many Oscars does John Williams have? Let me look. I should know this off the top of my head.
I know.
I think he has 4. More than that, probably. Oh, somebody's like, no, you really have. He's got... No, no, no.
Well, Ludwig has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Oscars as Sean Penn.
5. John Williams has 5. And he has not won an Oscar since Schindler's List in 1994.
Someone at the party asked me randomly. I walked into the kitchen. And it probably was right after Sinners won score. My friend Christian said, he was like, so did John Williams win the Oscar for Jurassic Park? And I was like, no. And he was like, you did not. Dead? He, like, I just, like, I just straight up was like, no, he did not. Like, he was like, you don't need to look that up. And I was like, no, that was 1993. That was same year as Schindler's List. No, of any movie that John Williams is going to win a score from, it's not going to be Jurassic Park. As memorable as that score is, that movie won, like, everything. So, no.
Well, I think you're looking at Ludwig Göransson being a John Williams, you know, yeah. That we've always been looking for our John Williams replacement, or not replacement, but, you know, who follows in his footsteps, who's going to be that next sort of beloved composer. And I think it's him, because yes, Williams won in 1972. That was his first Oscar for original song score for Fiddler on the Roof. But then he won three very closely, just like Ludwig Göransson, which was Jaws, Star Wars, and E.T. So
that's interesting.
And then one for Schindler's List.
Ludwig has his for Sinners, Black Panther, and what's the third one? Is it Oppenheimer?
Yes.
Well, he might win.
No. Don't say it.
That's the film Twitter just creeping on in. What's going to win next year?
And he only has four nominations only. He has never lost original score. He has three That's nominations crazy. And three wins. He That's lost crazy. In the song for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and Sinners from I Lied to You. Which I do want to correct something. A lot of people were saying, ooh, when they did I Lied to You, they included a ballerina just so they could stick it to Timmy Chalamet. And I'm like, no, there's a ballerina there's in the
ballerina
movie.
In the movie.
Yeah, it's a recreation of the scene from the movie.
But I think out of context, they were like, what? We didn't know they were going to recreate the scene, I guess.
Yeah.
No, but, like, so if you're just like, we've got Mr. Copeland, fuck you, Timothy.
Which,
for, like, 6 years now, 10 years, he, you know, sees a ruffle of a tutu. He's going to be like, they're coming after me.
That's sort of where I would like to close my thoughts on this year. I was not online last night very much. I did send Absolutely tweets from the contending, but I stayed off of it. I didn't want to see. I just was focusing on the show. Catching up to tweets today was so exhausting because people, like, this algorithm, we have a real problem where people need to stop with the hate and the anger and the complaining and the criticisms just constantly. It is.
Yeah.
The algorithm is just feeding into that discontent, and it is making us a worse people. Like, there's so many things I was sent today from people that we know and from total strangers who are just saying garbage things, and there's no point to it. Absolutely right. No point.
I want to be like, this is a movie. These are movies nominated for awards. This is like,
not- I'm dumbfounded. Like, grown ass adults that we know very well are making crass, rude, and completely without merit commentary to people that they know. Like, you would never say that to face to face. Why do you think it's okay to say it through a tweet? Anyway, I'm off my soapbox.
Cody Derricks said, some of you are very annoying about predicting the Oscars. Even when you get it right, it's over. Move on. Go watch a movie.
Yeah,
seriously. Like, I also just saw people being so butthurt about, like, you know, oh, really, Amy Madigan, like, stuff like, and I'm also just like, what do you care about? Or, like, Sinners didn't get enough. And, like, I'm just like, oh, my God, like, just stop. Like, stop. History was made in so many ways last night. And it's just like, who cares at the end of the day? Like, really?
It has never been, and it never will be, the arbiter of taste in film.
Right.
Because as Paul Thomas Anderson very correctly pointed out, tastes change. There are no winners sometimes, because 1975, that is an all-time lineup of best pictures. And you can't tell me that one film is arguably better than another of that group. Yes, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest won, but the other four are all considered classics of American cinema.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just, people need to, as Joey would say, touch grass.
Well, I just saw there's a picture of of Jesse Buckley walking up to the stage, and I didn't notice this during the show, but in the background, you can see Chloe Zhao and Ryan Coogler hugging. And someone was saying, like, you know, they've been friends forever. That's sort of been a slight talking point this whole season. And like, they're just supporting each other when someone from their movie wins an award. So like, chill out, everybody.
There were people, there were photos of or video of like Leo hugging Michael B. Jordan, and Michael B. Jordan, like,
that was like emotional. I was,
yeah, that looked really emotional. Benicio like patting him on the like shoulders and being like, yeah, like I think people forget that these are real people. And it's like, when you say mean things like, oh, Amy Madigan, this is your career Oscar, you've done nothing. Or when you say, oh, like, really, you're going to give it to Frankenstein. You know, it's just like, these are people who put a lot of hard work. Yeah. This is their job. It's like somebody going to like me like, hey, you suck at your job, I hate you. Like, can you imagine just being heckled at your job? Like, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of her work. I'm not a fan of her recent writing, but people need to put to bed the video of Diane Warren reacting to that loss to Billie Eilish. That is a 70-year-old woman who is, you know, she really thought she was going to win, and she's just not a poker face. Whatever. Right. So what?
Right.
It's mean. Just, it's so sick the way that people just freeze frame all of those images to look for somebody's immediate soul crushing reaction. I just, and then Teyana Taylor gets shit because she jumped up and clapped and applauded. Right. What are you, what
I
are
don't
they
understand
supposed
why
to
people
do?
Are giving her shit. Yeah.
I don't understand that either. Is it because she had him in a headlock? I personally love that.
She
Did
was
you see
just,
like her tweet about it though? She was like, you guys like don't know about, sorry, I've been asleep for like 6 hours. It's like, did you see this thing that everyone's already talked about?
No, go ahead.
No, I think
please.
I did see it though. Yeah, go ahead though.
Was she saying being a gracious loser?
That's, I just thought that was like, wow, what a really like nice, completely strange thing to hear from someone, because you'd never hear it. And she's just, and she was obviously having a blast this entire season. She probably thought she made really, she, her and Amy Madigan are friends, and she like cheered the same way when she won Critics' Choice. Amy Madigan cheered for her when she, when Teyana Taylor won the Golden Globe. Like, everyone got a little bit of something. Everyone chill the fuck out.
And that's an example of somebody who is a true, well-rounded human being who does not live for an award. Like, she has so many things going on. She's got, she's a mother. She's taken on cooking lessons. I mean, you know,
she's my hero.
She's there. She knows that the win for her was to get the nomination. She came very close to winning too.
Yeah.
But she's not butthurt about that.
Yeah.
She's just excited to be there. And that's how you should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
You shouldn't sit there in your white suit with your sunglasses on and pout because you didn't. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You know what really bothered me about that? And this is the only thing I'll say. Like, I understand a keyhole on a dress. I've never seen a keyhole that's a literal keyhole. And it bothered me the entire night. The whole night I kept bringing it up.
Kylie's dress.
Yeah, it's just, well, I don't know why. Like, she, I don't think I've heard her talk the entire season. And when I saw that, I was like, what is that? Like, I understand, but like, why? I just, I don't know.
I don't even remember the keyhole. I just remember the boobs.
Good for her.
It's the tree for me. It was the keyhole for you.
Yeah.
Haunting us to this day.
Now, if we saw the tree through a keyhole.
All right. So we're putting this year to bed, this Oscar year to bed. Let's look forward to what, I mean, it's, I don't like early predictions. I don't like to say, you know, oh, this film, that film, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong. There's so many things, but we're looking forward into this weekend where Project Hail Mary is coming out, has great reviews. It's going to do really well at the box office. It's, you know, this is the first, I'm not going to call it a contender, but well, I mean, I guess it is a legitimate contender For next year's Oscars. Who knows what will happen between now and then? But it'll have the money, it'll have the support of Amazon, I guess. I don't know if that's a detriment or a benefit. And it's got the it'll have the critical as well as audience acclaim, I suspect.
Yeah.
So I think you can say it's a contender. What other things are you looking for over this next year to be in the 2027 Oscars? Megan, you said you had something up.
Yes. Well, I think Amy Madigan has really broken this, I think. Oh, I mean, not that we haven't had horror performances before. Black Swan, Misery,
Misery. Ruth
Who's
Gordon in
Gordon? Yes. And I can't remember what the name of the movie is right now,
Rosemary's Baby.
oh, is that what it was? Was it Rosemary's Baby? Okay. I thought it was something else. But anyway, I'm looking to let's push Rachel McAdams for Send Help because I think you put a different actress in that. I'm not sure you're gonna get a perform like that performance is really good and like emotional. And I know people, are debating whether. Oh, like I see some people saying that you go back and forth on who you support. It's like, I've always supported Rachel McAdams in that movie, even when she does some questionable things. And I just wondering if now that, I mean, Sinners is a horror film too. So now that we've kind of like the door is open, let's really support horror films. Let's also remember Rachel McAdams's performance. And I would love to see a year from now her in the best actress race. So that's what I'm putting out there in the ether, I guess.
The
What?
Elliot.
Yes.
All right. Well,
Sorry.
I look like Elliot. You look like Dear Evan Hansen. So.
He does look.
I
Wait,
know. I know. I don't have my
I was about to say you're gonna lift up your arm and there's a cast on it.
yeah. Connor.
Who do I look like? Who do I look like?
Well, in that fetching Diane Keaton hat, I just don't know. You should be in a beautiful, illustrious kitchen.
I should, yeah.
I would probably say a movie that I have heard about at Sundance. I couldn't get a digital ticket to it because it was sold out. An actor that I've loved for years for a variety of reasons is Channing Tatum in Josephine. He got like really great notices out of Sundance. I know sometimes it's a long road for a movie to do that, but I mean, maybe it's a small movie. Maybe it can be that like indie movie that pushes through. I feel like he is an actor who has proven himself time and time again. And I liked his bit at the Oscars with Will Arnett, even though I did get really sad that Is This Thing On all over again did not get any sort of anything really. So I'm gonna put it out into the universe that Channing Tatum gets some form of an awards campaign, if not all the way to the Oscars.
I like that, and here's why. The trajectory is right for him. Number one, he's coming off of Roof Man, so he got really great reviews
Oh
from
yeah,
Roof
he
Man.
did.
He's back in the
Great man.
conversation.
Yeah.
It did pretty well. I mean, it made some money. Number two, he's gotten great reviews for that and that film. I don't know who got it out of Sundance. Is it A24? It seems like an A24 movie. Do you know whoever bought it? Hopefully,
Yeah.
somebody good bought it. So,
Oh, no, it was picked up by Netflix.
Netflix. Oh, okay. So they'll carry it through festival season. And
I'm a
he is
liar.
going to
So, sorry.
be, what's not Netflix.
No, I misread something. I'm illiterate. I don't know what studio has it.
Okay. But he's also got, he'll be in Avengers Doomsday. I believe that he's going to be in Avengers Doomsday. And here's, and in 3 hours of super intense, he plays a character who is very snarky and sarcastic. And I think he could pop out of that. So there will be some, they'll see some shades to his performance. Not necessarily, I'm not saying he's going to be super great in Avengers Doomsday, but they'll see a different side of him, and he'll have some good publicity coming out of that.
That's a good point because sometimes when you have those multiple roles, it shows your range. Just kind of like, is this Oscar stew?
Yeah,
Which
because he
Joey served last night. He did have a stew.
Because he popped in Deadpool and Wolverine, and he's playing that same character again. So I'm it's a good call. I like it. Mine is in a craft category. I'm really incredibly excited about Disclosure Day from Steven Spielberg. And we've already talked about John Williams. This could be John Williams' last score, and I would love to send him on to the into the beyond. I'm gonna get start crying in a minute,
Are
but
you killing him?
no, he I mean, the man is very, very old, and I don't know if
I
you've
know, but you're.
seen recent pictures of him. I mean, I would love to see him in his last film winning another Oscar.
Oh, he's 94. Wow.
Yeah. And
I didn't know
he's in a
that.
wheelchair, and
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, God.
yeah. Go look. There's pictures of him at a concert, his last public
Oh.
appearance, and it's, I know, I can't look at it. It's tough. Anyway.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so that would be my
That's good.
wish
That's a good
to
one.
put out into the ether is one more Oscar for John Williams.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. So does that cover it? Should we jump off to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week?
Sure.
Sure.
All right. Joey, why don't you go first?
I am catching up with The Pit. I'm going very slowly, and I'm fine with that. Catching up with The Pit, I don't say like shifting gears to television, but I'm excited for a lot of TV. I'm really enjoying that Steve Carell HBO show,
Oh, I need to catch up.
Rooster.
Is that a
It's very,
show?
yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a movie. Sorry.
No, it's created by the same guy who did Shrinking and Scrubs.
Bill Lawrence?
Bill, yeah, it's
I
Bill
didn't realize
Lawrence.
that.
So it has the sort of same vein as that. And I want to catch up just like movies that came out in 2026. Like I'm dying to see Undertone that came out last, I think this past weekend. Ready or Not 2 comes out this Friday, a movie that I love the first one, although I hate the title. I don't like that there's a number 2 in it because it's called Ready or Not 2, Here I Come. It should just be called Ready or Not, Here I Come, or Ready or Not 2. So I'm looking forward to putting this year and film and coverage behind us, and looking forward to all brand new stuff.
Megan.
I also am watching The Pit, of course. I need to catch up. I haven't watched Love Story in a while. I need to catch up to that. And I'm reading the book The Dirt about Motley Crue. Rick Friel, our fan, recommended it, and it's the most disgusting book I've ever read. It's like disgusting, and I really like it. I'm trying to think of anything else that's movie-wise. Oh, I can't wait to see Project Hail Mary. I really want to see that. And there's something else coming out this week. Is it, well, yeah, Ready or Not? I thought there was another horror film that's coming out. Like, I kind of sad that Ready or Not is coming out against Project Hail Mary because I feel like that's gonna just like push that to a different weekend. But I do want to see both of those. And probably, yeah, just catching up to still catching up to TV and getting ready for Emmy season. So, yeah, it's just around the corner. But that's about it.
I
Nice.
am also looking forward to Project Hail Mary. I'm wanting to go out and see that. And I don't think I'm catching up on any other films. I don't know if I mentioned, I don't think I mentioned this last week because we didn't do Flash Forward. I have been needing to find things that make me happy and uplift my soul. And so I have started rewatching Parks and Rec. And
Oh.
it absolutely is like a balm for the soul. It is such a just it is just like stepping into a happier time and place and just luxuriating in it. So I've been rewatching that. All the same things. Pit, of course, love the season so much. I just
Yeah.
love the show. It's so goddamn good. And need to catch up to Love Story. We have not we were very, very behind on that. And books, I need to start Wuthering Heights. Now that the
All
Oscars are
right.
done. Oh yeah. I just bought a copy too. We should read it. Yes.
Gossip. Jalal wanted us to do a book club of the Liza Minnelli autobiography.
Oh man, when does that come
Oh my
out?
God, I love
It came
that.
out last week.
Oh my God. Oh my God, that homosexual.
There was something like the only thing that I've read out of that book was some tweet came up where they were describing her interaction with Lady Gaga when they rolled her out on
Oh yeah.
stage and she was
Yes.
really pissed that Lady Gaga forced her to get into a chair.
Yes, I heard that was like a big problem. Yes.
She is not a fan of Lady Gaga, I don't think.
Yeah, I know. It breaks my heart.
So,
And I've ordered
all
the
right.
book, so we're fine.
Okay, good. All right, does that cover it? Okay,
Yeah.
let's get the hell out of here. So we are the three M's, the contending co-founders, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you find us, including YouTube. Click like and subscribe, and we wish you a very pleasant tomorrow.